This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
With the opportunity to gain first-hand insights into issues surrounding domestic violence in LGBTI communities around the world, Senior Constable Ben Binyanason from the Fortitude Valley Police Station in Queensland headed overseas as part of the 2016 Churchill Fellowship recipient as he conducted research into domestic violence in our communities by working closely with international police jurisdictions across four countries. Dina Curie spoke to Senior Constable Ben Binyanason about the Churchill Trust and what his research found.
It allows people, everyday Australians, to travel overseas and research a topic of their choice, obviously something which they're passionate about, and then return and use that information to better the lives of Australians. And it has to be something that can't be learnt in Australia. It has to be something that can only be learnt overseas.
Queensland Senior Constable Ben Binyanason has returned from researching domestic violence in LGBTI communities overseas with a renewed vigour for creating better dialogues between our communities and the force to assist in creating a safer and more supportive space for LGBTI victims of domestic violence. He coordinates the LGBTIQ Support Network for the Queensland Police Service and is the District Coordinator for the LGBTI Liaison Program. I asked him why he chose this focus in our communities within the force.
It started back in 2010. I was not long out myself within the police service, and I was out in a rural area, and the LGBTI Liaison Officers course has been advertised, and I could see the need for the position where I was living. So went on the course. At the time, it was a week-long course. Then came back to Roma and helped implement a support group called Anything But Straight, along with members of PFLAG and Youth Justice Services and local LGBTI councillors. And it's just sort of grown from there, really. But I guess I've just seen the need for the role day-to-day in my duties and how much it can actually benefit the LGBTI community.
Many instances of domestic violence within our communities go unreported, and education and initiatives to improve service providers and create stronger dialogues for LGBTI victims of domestic violence are beginning to grow. I asked Senior Constable Binyanason why he chose to look elsewhere when it came to investigating the needs of Australia's LGBTI communities.
Look, there isn't a huge amount of research in general that's been conducted on domestic violence and LGBTI relationships in Australia, especially. But obviously, places like New York City or the US, New York City and DC, the places I went to, they've had these sort of LGBTI liaison programs for a lot longer and have been dealing with LGBTI domestic violence and relationships a lot longer than we have here in Australia. So they've had the time to work out what works and what doesn't. So what better place to start than to learn from, I guess, their mistakes and their wins that they've had and try and work out the best way to go about things here.
The countries he visited were the United States, Canada, the UK, including Scotland, and Amsterdam. I asked him what it was like looking at domestic violence in those spaces and what it was that they had done that we could learn from here.
There's a lot of similarities across the board in all of the different countries. And then each place sort of had another sort of interesting aspect of them. Toronto, for example, which has got a population of 50% immigrants, they had an extra element of control being seen by perpetrators of domestic violence, where the respondents were, or the perpetrators were, using their immigration status as a means of control. So if they were with an immigrant, they were saying, basically, stay with me, or you have to stay with me, because if you don't, I'm going to get you deported, or you're going to lose your immigration status, you'll have to go home. And for a lot of people over there, they'd come from countries where it wasn't so accepting. So the thought of going home to a potentially homophobic country or family meant that they were ending up staying with these people and being controlled by them just because of the immigration status.
What was it like looking and integrating with organisations and police in other countries?
Obviously, the first response that I got from everyone was, why don't we have a fellowship like this that allows us to do it? Because, like, it's not an opportunity that many people get. Like, to be able to have a trip to so many different countries and to be able to see so many different organisations and learn from them, it doesn't really come about in many other places that I've heard of, especially in police departments. So I guess that was the main thing, and in a lot of cases, we were actually learning a lot from each other. And working out best case or best practice.
Service providers Australia-wide are getting there when it comes to addressing domestic violence in the LGBTI community. But the reality is that there are many factors that aren't considered and still need to be addressed, even in our exploration and understanding. Because previously, we've been tarnished with the same brush as victims and perpetrators of domestic violence who are heterosexual, and our needs are different.
Well, I suppose when it comes to comparing LGBTI relationships compared to heterosexual relationships, one of the main things, I guess, would be visibility. In all of the current advertising campaigns or campaigns against domestic violence, you'll never see an LGBTI victim portrayed in those campaigns. And same with most of the support organisations and things like that. Everything's aimed at women and children, which, of course, is the most at risk and the most that are victims of domestic violence. But in saying that, there's still tens of thousands of LGBTI victims that aren't being represented. And because they're not being represented in these sort of campaigns and education and training and that sort of thing, they're not recognising, a lot of people aren't recognising that they're in a domestic violence relationship because they purely don't know that they can be in one, being in an LGBTI relationship.
While this education is happening outside the force, I asked Senior Constable Bjarnason if that kind of education is happening in the force.
Look, it's something that's being worked on at the moment. The Queensland AIDS Council's just got a grant for $155,000, I believe it is, to do some training with service providers, and those providers will include the police. That's basically around LGBTI awareness and domestic violence in those communities.
Did the diversity of our communities get in the way of his findings? After all, you can't just look at LGBTI and hope everything's going to be the same. Every letter of the alphabet needs to be broken down. Did one community's narrative stick out more than any other around the world?
Generally, in all the places I went to, one of the main things that came out were that men weren't identifying themselves as victims, especially, or were more scared of seeking support. One thing that was interesting was a officer in the domestic violence unit in New York City said to me, he said, men are taught from a young age that they're not victims or not to be a victim, or they can't be victims. So therefore, when they are in a domestic violence relationship, they're not identifying it. And then through stereotypes of masculinity, like all of the different sort of masculine stereotypes and things like that, men can be also more ashamed or afraid to report to police because they feel stupid for being a victim to domestic violence and they don't want to be a victim, so if they're ashamed of it, they're not going to report it.
So what's the next step for Senior Constable Bjarnason now that he's found all of this out?
There's many steps, but basically my recommendations have been submitted through to my senior executive. Obviously, it's only quite new. I've only just submitted the report last month. So straight up, there's one of the recommendations has been taken up. We're looking at starting up a community or consultative committee, an LGBTI consultative committee, with a number of community organisations to find out, you know, how we can do things better and how we can work with the community, what the issues are, and how they think we can best go about tackling this issue of domestic violence in the community.
Many in our communities don't trust the police. And while we have greater initiatives creating awareness, including LGBTI police officers in the force, this is a narrative that we still have to work hard to improve on. I asked Senior Constable Bjarnason what he would say to those in our communities who may not trust going to the police force when they need help.
There is always going to be that apprehension, and that's one thing that I saw everywhere in the world. One interesting thing that an officer told me in Amsterdam was, if you look at Amsterdam's crime statistics against LGBTI people, it looks like the most unsafe place for LGBTI people in the world, when in fact their officers there have done such an amazing job gaining the confidence of the community that everyone's willing to report, and therefore it looks like there's a lot more crime going on, when in fact it's just because it's being reported. I guess that's somewhere that we want to get here, is having that confidence in the community. It is going to take time. It's been all around the world, obviously, stemming from the days of the Stonewall riots and the days where people were mistreated by police. And I honestly think that it's just a matter of time that people are going to gradually see that police are here to help them, that we are not homophobic, as a lot of people do think. And at the end of the day, they will be treated professionally and appropriately from police services, and if they're not, there's always the avenues of complaints and that sort of thing, because straight up, we don't want those sort of officers. If people are being mistreated or not treated appropriately, we don't want those people working with us. Everyone should have the right to be able to walk into a police station and not be scared and be treated appropriately and professionally.
That was Deena Currie speaking with Queensland Senior Constable Benjamin Bjarnason about creating better support for victims of domestic violence within LGBTI communities.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.